This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
All right, it's hour number three on a Friday. They just doubled down on this one. It's Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. And Bart Scott, when it's hour number three, what does that mean?
It's the power hour, 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 hour. And it's Friday.
Makes it even better. And we have your calls at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. So, we were just talking about the Rangers and the Lightning and how the Lightning did it again, scoring late, winning. Now they're up 3-2 on the Rangers in the Eastern Conference Finals. Colorado Avalanche waiting for them in the Stanley Cup Finals, which is, coming up next. And after the game was over, did you see this video that went around social media? So, there's a Lightning fan, right, the fans were filing out of the Garden last night. And there's a Lightning fan walking.
Yeah, by
and
himself.
He just, you know, by himself. And I guess just kind of like letting out a cheer or whatever it was. And a Ranger fan in front of him just turned around and socked him right in the face. And like laid him out, like knocked him out cold.
Yeah, we don't want that though.
People like just saw it on video. It's amazing that you could catch something so random like that on video.
Yeah,
right?
Somebody must have been planning something was happening.
That's the weirdest thing is how are you just filming this all of a sudden and you just happen to catch it? But beyond me, but it went all over the place. So they find – so then apparently somebody tried to stop him and he got punched too.
Huh.
So it's this 29-year-old from Staten Island. If you were going to pick which borough he was from, would Staten Island probably be the first one you'd come up with?
No, it would be Long Island next year.
No, stop it. How dare you? and I'm not, it's not an indictment on all people from Staten Island, but it's like Ranger fans, Staten Island. That's yeah. So anyways, the Garden has, he was arrested. He was charged with, several different,
assault. You know, that's what he deserves.
Assault and everything else. And the Madison Square Garden also has banned him for life. So can't come to any more events. That's it. You're done.
Yep,
you're
that's what he gets.
So,
I mean, but the team, the team started it.
Well, the team did fight at the end.
Yeah, they started. They set that same energy.
Oh, really? So you're gonna blame? You're gonna blame?
Yeah. Why would they fight at the end, man?
Lafreniere for going after Stamkos.
Yeah, it's game's over, with, son.
So, yeah,
where was that, where was that energy with 2 minutes to go?
That doesn't give a fan any right to just turn around and punch a dude in the face because your team lost.
But you can do it on the ice.
Yeah, controlled.
It was controlled. Somebody was bleeding when they got up.
Yeah. That was going on. Ryan Lindgren.
Yeah, man.
Because there was all whole bunch of stuff going on. Anyway, so that was just what's happening there on that. But that was something that was all over social media.
I'm glad they found the guy.
Well, it was easy to find him.
Hero.
He was on video everywhere.
Yeah, but he was
quite simple
to
identify him.
That's a lesson to all you children out there and young adults. Somebody's always watching.
Always. It's amazing. Cameras everywhere. So everything you do, I mean, it's just, that's incredible. But it happened quickly. By the way, the guys that got knocked out, they did not ask for medical attention and moved on from things. So at least you would have to believe that they're okay.
Makes
which
me
is
think
good
that
news,
it's not the first time that dude's taken a punch.
It was scary, though. That yeah. One punch.
You
were
you worry about somebody hitting their head, the back of their head.
The way he fell, it looked like that's literally what happened. Like, you don't know what's coming, right? You're just sitting there letting out a viral, you know, like a primal scream because you're happy for your team, and the next thing you know, pop.
Yep.
All right? Jimmy from Staten Island just punches you right in the kisser because, you know, you're happy. Anyways, it's Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. Some NBA news, Bart. David Griffin, who is the essentially runs basketball operations for the Pelicans, vice president of basketball operations for the Pelicans, he was on Ryan Russillo's podcast, and he said that Zion Williamson, as a max player, an easy decision, he said, for the franchise to offer him the full 5-year, 181 max extension.
Of course. He had to, but he didn't say – he said offer it, but he didn't say how they were going to offer it to
right.
him.
He said
that's
it's not
difference.
A big decision. It's a pretty easy decision. The kid's historically good when he plays. This is a max player. That's easy. However, he did say – that, you know, as a franchise, you do have to protect yourself. So he said what becomes significant as a team that's a small market team and as a team that can't make mistakes in terms of injuries over time, you have to indemnify yourself in some way for that, and that's fine. But the decision on whether or not this is a max player is an easy one. It's really going to be about if you're all the way in with us, this is what it looks like, and we're all the way in with him, and I think we always have been. But that little asterisk that he allowed there of the, you know, we're a small market team, can't make mistakes in terms of injuries over time. You can't, you have to have some protection. It does suggest to me that there will be, there has to be some language in the contract that if Zion is not available for a certain amount of games or something, and remember, he's only played 85 games. In comparison, think about this. RJ Barrett has played in 198 games. Right, John Morant has played, I think, 196 or something like that games. Those are the top three picks of the draft. He's played in 85. So there's your comparison, right? But when he plays, he's great. 26 points a game, shoots 60% from the field. So if you're the Pelicans and a small market team, you're going to have to protect yourself. So, Bart, if they put in some of these, you know, if you don't play a certain amount of games, this is, you know, whether it becomes a team option, whatever it is. If you're Zion, do you sign this?
I mean, he may have no choice. I mean, it's precedent that's already been set. Joel Embiid, who may not be – hold on. I'm surprised that Joel Embiid wasn't the first overall pick. But he had to be at least top five,
yeah,
top three.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and now he's a he's an MVP candidate. He's been a better player. He's a great player.
He was the third pick, just so you know.
All right, so he's the third pick. He's R.J. Barrett. And he's, you know, he's the guy who – who signed that deal. So, like, they can say, hey, listen, this has happened before from a player that was injured. We need some guarantees so that we can be able to help our ball club. If you sustain an injury, you can't play for a duration of time. This is just what we have to do.
You want to hear who went number one? Well, I'm sorry. I thought you were done. You want to hear who went number one in that draft?
Kate Cunningham.
No.
I'm just playing.
You always go Pistons when it comes to guesses. No, Andrew Wiggins.
Ah.
Yeah, the Cavaliers. Number two is Jabari Parker, then Embiid, Aaron Gordon, Dante Exum went five, Marcus Smart went six, Julius Randle went seven, let's see, Zach LaVine, so it's just some names now, 13th, and it gets real interesting as the draft continues here.
The one is Jabari Parker, man, because, sheesh.
Yeah.
Had that one back.
Yeah. Jokic, by the way, second round, 41st overall.
That's crazy.
Crazy, right?
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. So that was that draft. But yeah, though, and yes, when he signed his extension with the Sixers, they did have some stipulations in their protecting because he had had so many injuries himself.
Just think, Steph had injuries as well.
Yes, he did. But I don't know, man. If I'm Zion, are you sure?
Are you willing to be a free agent and go that route? Are you willing to lose money that way?
Well, what you do is you bet on yourself to having like a full season where you'll play like 70-something games and you play great. This is a playoff team already. You'll be joining them. They could be even better. And then you look at them at the end of that going, no, now you're going to have to compete for me. That's
okay.
All I'm saying. Like, does he do that? I don't know. But I mean this, it all depends on the language of, you know, the guarantees and how they do it. You know, if it's a strictly protection based on injury. But again, you're a player. You want every dime, don't you?
Yeah.
So are you going to let them then control the like your ability to make money even if you do happen to get hurt again? What, I can't get hurt again now?
Yeah, but the thing is, like, they played well without you. You know what I mean? So what are you going to do if they played well without you? And, you know, so clearly they're not in desperation mode to need you as much as you may believe so.
Hmm. So you're not buying any of this. See, yesterday you're fighting with me about how a golfer should be able to make all the money he wants to make and the hell with everybody.
Yeah.
And today I'm telling you about how a team is going to try to protect itself and basically try to control how many games you could play and all that other stuff. And, you're not into it. So, okay.
Golfers deserve all that bread, man. They don't got guaranteed money. Zion's going to make his money regardless, but this is the thing.
You know what
Zion
the difference between Zion and Embiid? I'll give you the difference between Zion and Embiid.
He's
very
short.
Simple. No, has nothing to do with basketball. Zion is already an incredibly marketable player that has already showed you that he is somebody that draws eyeballs to the TV screen, that will fill an arena, that will sell products. Joel Embiid's a great player, but is he selling tons of products? He has one commercial out right now. I couldn't even tell you what it is. I just know he's walking around somewhere and he shoots a basketball.
Zion's selling a high sugar, high fluke corn fructose.
Okay.
What else is he selling outside of Mountain Dew?
No, he's a highly marketable player, though. You just know everybody absolutely
is. But like, is he knows, really?
He is known all around beyond basketball.
Who's more marketable, Zion or LaMelo Ball?
Zion.
More than
yes. Yes, right now? Right now, yes.
Right now?
Yes, right now, 100%.
I don't know about that, man. Who got more commercials right now?
I'll tell you what. You know what? I have this other argument on the baseball side of things when it comes to Aaron Judge, and I'd love to talk to Michael Kay about that. So we're going to do that here in just a couple of seconds. But first, I want to tell you that we have a lot coming up, yes. And we want to also tell you to tune into an interleague battle on Sunday. The Angels host Bart's Mets, who have been a bit of a struggle lately.
Yeah.
Coverage of Sunday Night Baseball begins 6 p.m. Eastern, ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and 7 p.m. on ESPN. Oh, okay.
What music is that, man? It's some psychedelic
stuff. Different music, right? It's like Muzak. It's not even like Friday Vibe kind of music either.
Yeah, this is some disco ball stuff, right?
It's something like that. I don't know. So we'll get to Michael Kay here in just a couple of seconds. We're waiting for him just to join the show in a moment. But the Zion thing is, to me, going to be an interesting situation this whole offseason. Because it does matter that he is not like Embiid. And if I was representing him and they wanted to say, well, Joel Embiid, he had some injuries and they put some stipulations in and that's okay. I'm not okay with all of that. Because you're going to be able to sell me even when I'm hurt. Okay. No. Sell him even when he's hurt?
What about a weight clause?
Every player should have a weight clause.
Yeah, what about a weight clause?
Well, right? I think because I believe in the league that there is something about your weight and they can find – there's certain things they can fine you for. That's different.
I mean, it's a lot of players, I'm sure, that doesn't have the weight as a consideration in their contract. I'm sure Ja Morant might have a clause to gain weight.
I do not know about all of that, but I do know that if you're the Pelicans – You can't mess around with this. Now, Griffin said all the right things, but he did put out the caveat that we're a small market team. We can't take any chances or risks with a contract like that. And if I'm Zion, I'm saying, but you can make a ton of money off me and my name.
How much money have they made off him so far? That stadium's still empty, right? Ain't that what they said?
No. When he plays, they draw. When he doesn't play, they don't draw.
I forgot who we had on the show. They were like, man, that place is empty. They don't care about basketball there. They only care about the Saints.
Mm-hmm.
And we had him on. He said they don't really sell out. And they were a playoff team last year.
I don't know. You know what I'm
saying? They're a playoff team last year, and they still didn't sell out.
Oh, man. Something going on in Washington right now with the Commanders.
Oh, man. Statement from
what else?
Oh, it's about Jack Del Rio, I think.
No, it's not about – I don't think it's about Del Rio and that stupidity that he said.
That's what it is.
Yeah. Oh, it is about Del Rio.
Yep.
Being fined $100,000 for his comments regarding all that stuff.
I'm so over them, man. Can they sell the old organization and start over fresh?
Sometimes it's like just why, like,
shut up.
Why say anything at that point? Like, you know, like some things don't you just say in your head, like, where's this going to get me?
Right.
You know what I mean?
But then it's so fake because, and we're going to donate it to the Capitol Police Memorial Fund. Like, man, get out of here, man. Who really paying that?
Well, that's a different story altogether, right?
Yeah, stop that.
But
this fake Karen stuff, you know what I mean? Oh, it's been outrage. Stop it. You're just trying to make sure your ticket sales are up.
Mm. Well, let's get some calls. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I want to grab Jonathan in Brooklyn, who agrees with you and not me. On LaMelo and Zion. Jonathan.
What's up, guys?
What's happening?
I think that LaMelo Ball is more marketable than Zion, partly because of LaVar, you know, like, people like the family, people think his dad is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just seen him on I think that was like AT&T commercial.
AT&T?
I see Zion on no AT&T commercials.
Yeah.
Nothing my son can't do.
Yeah, that's hilarious commercial. I love that.
What about the marshmallow one?
See,
Hulu.
Yes, I first of all never didn't say he's not marketable.
Zion's not funny, man. He don't got no swag. You see how he dressed? He dressed.
He's just
horrible.
Got a different way about him. All right.
Yeah, he's different.
We'll hold on to this conversation, though, because I want to actually move it to baseball. And Michael Kay joins us right now. The voice of the Yankees, of course. The
voice of baseball. Just
voice
put
of
it
baseball.
Out there. Voice of baseball.
Voice of the K-Rod cast. And, of course, you can hear him on ESPN and 98.7 ESPN in New York on the Michael Kay Show. It comes on right after our show. Michael, how are we doing?
Great. How are you guys doing?
We're
I'm,
doing
not doing,
great.
I'm not doing too well,
you're not doing
man.
Well?
I mean, Pete Alonso, fingers are getting hit, man. Yeah. Marte's hurt. Yeah. You know what I mean? Good thing we got the Angels, but then, you know, Tani just got out of his slump yesterday, so he's getting out of the slump at
Bart
the wrong
just
time.
Bart basically just the entire cornucopia of baseball talk all in 30 seconds.
Yeah, now, do you know that? Do you agree with what Don wants to do, that the Mets should just start a brawl?
Listen. I mean, every once in a while, you got to punch somebody in the face to get some respect. You know what I mean, it needs to be, because listen, this is getting out of control with them hitting their players. It's ridiculous. Listen, I like you, Darvish, and I don't think he's a bad guy, but you know that deserved a five with axe with the five fingers say to the face. That deserves some Will Smith action. Should have out there smacked the gum out of
You're telling me. You're telling me that you, Darvish, who had some control problems early
That's
in the
you
game,
problem. I don't
and
care.
He throws inside, hits your guy in the hand.
Yeah,
that deserves.
Yeah.
To run out on the field and beat the hell out of him.
You go out there, you beat the hell out of him, and the last guy that got control problems, I bet you he won't have no control problems. His control problems going to be way right. It ain't going to be inside. Guarantee you that.
I don't know how I feel.
Now, this is getting ridiculous.
I don't think that they should fight, but I believe that the Met pitcher has to hit, you know, their star player. And I know that sounds barbaric, but
retaliation.
Even if they're not doing it on purpose, and I think most of the 40 that they've been hit, not on purpose, but – pitchers don't have any fear of missing inside to the Mets because there's no retribution. So, I mean, Tony La Russa, no matter whether you did it or not when he was at the Oakland A's, if you did it on purpose or not, he would hit two of your guys. That's all there was to it. And then the hitters would go to the pitcher and go, guys, you got to be more careful, man. We don't want to get hit.
Because here's the thing. Look what happened when they did retaliate early in the season. There were suspensions.
Yeah.
So it's like baseball holds them accountable, but they don't hold all these other guys accountable for hitting them inside. Whether the game plan is, hey, pitch all the Met hitters inside, you know what I mean? They need to figure that out, man, because listen, I'm losing guys that are going to contribute. We're already down two of our starter pitchers, you know what I mean? I can't be sustaining these type of injuries because I got to outscore people right now because our pitchers stink.
Well, I mean, it seems like it's obviously a hockey mentality of the accountability thing, of course, and keeping everybody honest. But, I mean, it is remarkable that the Mets are leading baseball in getting hit. But if I'm not mistaken, Michael, didn't the Yankees go through this also fairly recently? It was because they also are very aggressive at the plate, crowding the plate. And so the more you have that your hitters doing that, the more apt you're going to be to get hit, right?
It wasn't to this level. And the funny part is that hit by pitch per team is down all around baseball, except for the Mets.
Of course. Right. Maybe it's
down every
owners.
Single team.
It could be owners. They don't like Steve Cohen, so they're just like, that's
got
the way
too
to
much
get
money.
Back at them.
They hate him because he's Richie Rich.
Speaking of money, Michael, I've been wanting to ask you about something that I have talked about a couple of times here, and I'd love to get your response to it. Because as I've been watching this season unfold and seeing everything that's going on from Aaron Judge and the Yankees to just everything in the sport, I've really come to this conclusion. I think Aaron Judge shouldn't take anything less than $400 million. I'm not saying it's right. I'm saying this is the mentality, if I was representing him, I would use. Here's why. Mike Trout is the guy that makes $400 million. And that's the one significant thing he's done in the sport, because I can't think of a moment that he's had yet. And he's hurt again. His team stinks. He's in a, you know, he doesn't do much for the sport. And Aaron Judge is in the big market, on the big brand team, willing to do everything, has the million-dollar smile, is transcendent as far as somebody that can – all demographics can seem to like him for whatever reason, easy to market for the sport, not just for your team. So think of all the things that come in this package that is delivered as Aaron Judge. How does he or his representation not go to the Yankees and say, if that guy's making all that money and he doesn't do half of what our guy does for you off the field – then our guy deserves to be paid that too. Do you understand that logic?
Oh, I hear the logic. He won't be a Yankee if that's what he demands. I don't even know if there's a team out there that would give him that. And remember, when Mike Trout signed that contract, I think he was 27 years old.
I understand.
You know, Aaron's going to be 31 in the first year of the contract. So I think the best that he could do is to be the highest paid position player. And because you're looking at total value, but if you look at average annual value, if he gets $36 million a year, which I think, you know, the Yankees offer him 30.5. So if he says, I want 36 a year for 7 years, I'm sure that's doable. I think it's going to get sticky and messy if he insists on going to 10. So if the total value of the package is to get to a certain number, like you just got to, he's gonna X himself out of a lot of places. And believe me, this guy's having the best year of anybody, I believe. He's just been great.
Yes.
And he's just to see him around kids, he's unbelievable. He sells the game beautifully. Perfect guy. Perfect. He's the perfect face for your franchise.
Right.
But if he's
right.
asking for $400 million,
well,
I mean, let's just take that to 10 years. That's $40 million a year.
Right.
I don't think the Yankees will do it.
Yeah, that part I understand. I'm using 400 as sort of, again, just using the Trout sort of line, right? That's what I mean by it. Now, if you're going to, well, we're not going to go 10 years, $40 million a year. The point I'm trying to make, though, is it's okay. You're not going to give it to me. Then I'll tell you what, I'll go to go to Seattle, make a number that is everybody else's number because that's the bracket you put me in, and then I'm not going to sell you sport. Like, I'm not going to have to do that because clearly – you know, he doesn't get extra for that. He's not getting extra for all this other stuff that he does to sell the game. It's just who he is that sells the game. It's where he plays that sells the game.
But
if you're not going to pay him accordingly to do that, then fine, I'll go play somewhere else.
But you have an obligation. You got to be who you are. If he's a nice guy, you don't get paid extra.
Right, that's it, Bart. He's a nice guy. He treats kids like gold because he likes kids. He's just a good guy.
That helps.
He's not doing it to sell baseball. That's what makes him special.
Yeah, but as his agent, I don't have to be a nice guy. As his agent, I'm seeing a value of somebody for a sport that desperately needs somebody like this.
Yeah, but you know what? If his agent says, okay, I got this offer from Seattle, well, then if I'm the Yankees, I go, oh, you know what? Here's Cano's number. Why don't you give him a call? See how that worked out.
A lot different.
Because when you go there, I mean, I love Seattle. I'm not knocking Seattle.
No, but you're
as a
you're,
baseball yeah, player, you're in the moon. Witness protection program.
Yeah, you're on the moon. No doubt about it. 100% you're right. But I'm looking at everything that he represents, and I see the guy that's supposed to be the best player in the sport. He's not even the best player on his team right now. And he's not available, and he doesn't sell the sport. There's so many things about him that I just feel like if I'm selling Aaron Judge, I'm saying this is the guy. This is the most marketable player. This is the guy that should be the highest paid player in the sport. He should be this because he's all of the things that Trout is, and yet he's also in the major market, which is important for baseball right now. I guess that's the case I'm trying to make while using the sensationalism of $400 million as a way to get you to pay attention.
But it's interesting, though, because baseball is not going to subsidize the Yankees to keep Aaron Judge in New York. It's the Yankees that are going to have to make that decision. And
yeah.
I think the Yankees made him a really good offer, and I don't blame him for saying I want more. But the Yankees didn't embarrass him with that offer. It was a really good offer. Everybody around baseball thought they went above and beyond. But if he has a season like he's having for the entire year and hits 55 home runs, he's going to get the money that he wants, which I believe is $36 million a year.
Okay.
And I think the sticking point between the Yankees and Judge will be if he says he has to have 10 years. Because just take a look at the last couple of 10-year contracts. They don't work out. Albert Pujols was released twice. Robinson Cano has been released twice. I mean, the back end of those contracts don't hold up well.
Right. That's the part where you certainly know that it better be worth it by the time you get there. Because you say, well, so what? We've got 3 rings from this guy. You know, something like that. Then you'll live with it. But if it doesn't happen, that's when it becomes the albatross. Michael, we got to run here, but it's always great to talk to you. Thanks so much.
Have a great weekend, guys.
All right, all the best. Michael Kay, the voice of the Yankees, also the K-Rod cast, and the Michael Kay Show on 98.7 and ESPN in New York. We are Bart and Hahn. We are ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Bundle and protect today under one roof. Learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. A lot of you want to weigh in on this Zion thing, so we'll get to you next. Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio, and the ESPN app.
Bart and Hahn.
It's Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. The road to the rematch is on. Bantamweight champ Juliana Pena and former champ Amanda Nunes go head-to-head as coaches on the historic 30th season of The Ultimate Fighter. Stream the series now exclusively on ESPN Plus. Sign up now at ESPNPlus.com. You sign up at ESPNPlus.com. You can also get our show on ESPN Plus. See us on TV. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number. We'll get some calls here because a lot of you want to react to the Zion conversation we had just a few minutes ago. David Griffin, who's essentially in the front office of the Pelicans, had an interview on Ryan Russillo's podcast, and he just made it clear. He's like, it's an easy decision to give Zion a max contract extension, which he's due this offseason. It's a five-year extension worth $180 million. And he said, while that's an obvious, you know, easy decision to make, he did add the caveat, though, for a small market team, you got to protect yourself because of things like injury and whatnot. So I just said, if I'm Zion, if I'm representing him, I'm no. Fully guaranteed, don't mess with it. Nothing out of the ordinary. Yes, he's only played 85 games so far in the first four seasons of his career.
So tell me.
Oh, that's true. But he's a marketable player, one of the most marketable young players the league has. When he does play, he's a phenomenal player. And you could say, if you're Zion and his representation, this injury stuff's behind him.
According to who?
According to me.
So how are you protecting yourself? Because I'm taking an agent's word for it? How's that any type of guarantee?
I get it, but this is, like I said, if you're Zion, you can. I think they can do this. It's not every player could do this. R.J. Barrett can't do this. If he did that, if the Knicks said to him, hey, listen, you know, you've logged a lot of minutes this first couple of years, we got to put some little bit stipulations in because you seem to have this knee thing. Like, that's one thing. Like, but if I'm Zion, I'm not doing it. Amari Stoudemire would have easily re-signed with the Phoenix Suns if they didn't put injury stipulations into his contract. He didn't want them.
Yeah, then
how did
that work?
We'll give it to you.
How did that work out for Phoenix?
Well, they weren't good after he left.
Yeah, but how many good years did he give the Knicks? Two?
Yeah, you're right.
So, I mean, it goes but both ways.
You're missing my point, though. I'm talking about from the player perspective.
No, I totally get that.
Somebody will give you a fully guaranteed deal.
Maybe.
Somebody will.
Maybe.
See, Kyrie's a guy that can't. See, Kyrie's a guy that can't mess around.
Oh, so
Kyrie's a guy that can't say it because nobody will do this. But for a guy at his age, a 22-year-old, a 21-year-old, with his star and his magnetism his ability to play, someone will give it to him.
But not Kyrie,
because it's a lot different. He's later in his career, and it's a lot of other things that nobody wants the headache to deal with anymore.
But I'm telling you that, hey, you got a chance to win championships. We're a playoff team here. So listen,
give me a 2-year deal with a player with an opt. I need an opt out then.
That's what,
I'm telling you.
I'm just saying.
All right, well, let's see what people think. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We begin with Andre in Massachusetts. What's up, Andre?
How you doing? Happy Friday. Thanks for taking the call. David Griffin is striking exactly the right tone in terms of his messaging because, yeah, skill-wise, Zion is 100% a max player, okay? But when you miss more than half of your games, we need language in this contract that makes sure that, you know, you're getting your max money if you're out there consistently and when you're 6'6", close to 300 pounds. Okay, we're talking about the round mound of rebound. An early Charles Barkley before he came up under Moses' leadership. No, we can't give that Barkley or that Zion max money with no stipulations. And so I think Zion is leaning towards re-signing because he sees the culture has changed in New Orleans. There's a new sheriff in town, Willie Green, who's capable, and we got C.J. McCollum, veteran presence to put everybody in position. They have Brandon Ingram. They have Valanciunas at the center position. So with a Zion that's buying in, New Orleans could make some serious noise in the West, and I think he kind of sees that. But he's going to have to give them that optionality in terms of his injuries if he wants to be a part of really bringing the Pelicans back to championship contention, which is what I feel, back when they had CP3, when they had Stojakovic, when they had Tyson Chandler in those early days. Thanks for taking the call.
You got it, Andre. Yeah, I don't know if, like, all that sounds great, but, I mean, do they control your games played? Do they do that? All that stuff you got to think about if you're an agent. Big J in New Orleans. What's up, Jay?
Hey, Barton Hines. Love you guys, man. Y'all my favorite show. But I got a bone to pick with y'all today, my brothers. Mm-hmm. That was Big Perk that came on your show and said that the stadium never sells out. Yes, football is our main sport. But we love basketball. And when the teams are good, yes, we show out as we did when the play-in. Now, with Zion, I'm praying that the young brother gives us an opportunity and put some stipulations and words in that contract where it can work for both sides. We can't just give him no guarantee because of the history that he's had in a short time. We love the guy, and I bet you, man, if the guy signs, we turn this thing around, baby. We'll fill up the Pelican Stadium like we do the Superdome. Mm-hmm. And I promise you that. Love you guys, man. Thanks
appreciate
for taking
you,
the
Jay.
Call.
Thank you, Jay. Yeah, and I have no doubt about that, first of all, the support that they'll get. And I have no doubt that if he's healthy, that they could be a really good team. But I, you know, I'm just telling you, when you know you have leverage, you should use it, Bart. And I think he would have leverage in this.
But how much leverage would he have? He's got to give something. It's not like he's Ja Morant, who has lived up to the expectations.
I'd be worried about Ja Morant if I was Memphis. And,
yeah.
And plus, his numbers are like
212. But they can't dare put the numbers in there. But they can't dare put that language in Ja Morant.
No, they
what
can't,
he's been
but wouldn't you – but after Derrick Rose, wouldn't you be a little worried?
Of course. It's always – listen, it's always a chance. It's all,
right.
But you know that he's lived up to the expectations. He's been available.
Mm-hmm.
Zion, when you miss your first year –
You're right.
Coming off a surgery and then you miss a whole year?
From a team perspective, you're right. From the player perspective –
Yeah, all right, Zion. Yeah, Sacramento will give you that money. Go ahead. Have fun out there. Enjoy your life.
We'll continue with your calls on this. We want you a chance to win some cash just by tuning in. This is all you have to do. Listen to the NBA on ESPN Radio basketball championship broadcast. It's tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern, with a chance to win $4,000. Coming up, what Bart can't wait to see this weekend. Will it involve hockey? Bart and Han, ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Bart and Han.
That's Bart and Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. So this weekend, Bart, while we have NBA Finals going on, see if the Rangers can even up their series. You got that on Saturday night. We'll do all this get up, what you can't wait, coming up here in a few minutes. We do have some baseball as well in New York, some interesting series. The Mets are playing the Angels, who have been a disaster up until just yesterday when –
Syndergaard?
Yes, right. Up until yesterday, Shohei Ohtani put an end to a 14-game losing streak for them by being just, you know, Shohei Ohtani. It was just great. But the Yankees play the Cubs. This is a classic matchup of two really, you know, classic franchises. But did you know on the Cubs roster, although he hardly plays, is a former Yankee in Clint Frazier?
What? He's still alive?
His career is still alive. And so he was, of course, asked, I guess I'm seeing this in the Post, he was asked about, you know, his time there versus, you know, things when he was with the Yankees. And he said, I like it here. Certainly don't miss some of the things over there. I'm really enjoying the way this clubhouse has maneuvered. It seems like there's a lot of guys in here that are just accepting of everyone.
Oh.
And it's been really good for me. You have to be a cookie cutter version to be on that team, he said of the Yankees.
Mm.
If not, then you were like a really bad distraction, it seemed like. So I don't miss being told how I had to look for the last 5 years.
Yeah, I get that. I never would have played for it. I never would have been with the whole mustache crap. That's stupid to me. It's
Remember,
outdated.
He had his hair. He did all different things with his hair.
Yeah, it's outdated, man. That whole belief system, like that. What does that mean about how I come to the park? Now we have standards about what a Yankee is supposed to look like. Stop.
It's
it,
just
man.
Been a thing that they've always done. It's been a tradition.
Well, yeah. But traditions are made to be updated. Hit refresh button. Like, listen, I'm not sitting up here like
traditions aren't made to be updated. Traditions are traditions.
Yeah, right,
that's what they are.
Well, some things phase out. I mean, that whole got to cut your facial hair, man. You'll know if somebody get ingrowns or all that type of stuff. Like. Just because that's the way the good old boys used to look. Don't try and make me look like no good old boy. I'm an individual. I can play within the team structure, but my appearance has nothing to do with my, what should be the same. It's my uniform.
Well, he's happy with the Cubs. He's happy not really playing much with the Cubs, but it didn't pan out with Frazier and the Yankees. We're back in 10 seconds.
Bart and Han. There is so much going on in sports this weekend.
Here comes Showtime with the hammer.
Bart Scott.
Can't wait.
Can't wait on Bart and Han.
So, can't wait. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts, your professional parts people. It's Bart and Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. All right, Bart, let them know what you can't wait to see this weekend.
Oh, man, I'm going to take this straight, no chaser, man. No need to get pretty about it. Listen, our Rangers are in trouble, and they got to go down to Tampa to get her done and win a game on the road, something they haven't been able to do within this series, to be able to host a Game 7. So I can't wait to see if they can rise to the occasion, much like they did against those Hurricane Canes. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? They was able to go in there and shut the door in their house after they hadn't lost a game at home all playoff. So listen, I need the Rangers. I need Brian Daboll. The only way you can make up for it is call Soul Plane, get a ticket, or call Spirit Airlines because you need to suffer a little bit. I need you a little angry, you know what I'm saying, when you sit up there in that hard seat with no cushions. I need you to fly down there, not first class, low class, be with the peoples, and root the team on to victory. Use some of that Wojo. Then.
Wait. All right, so Game 6, Saturday night, 8 p.m. on ESPN at Tampa. The Lightning looking to win, and they would go to a third straight Stanley Cup final, looking to win their third straight Stanley Cup. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. If you want to tell us what you can't wait to see before the end of the show. All right, Bart, continue.
Then, without any further ado, got to see if these Warriors, man, the babyface assassin, see if he can put the team on their backs.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? If they can put the team on their backs and force a Game 5, go back tied up, and put the pressure back on those young Boston Celtics and Dylan. Can Draymond step up? I mean, listen, he was the story in Game 2. Then he was the story for the wrong reasons in Game 3. In Game 4, can he stay face? Can he change the narrative about he's just a guy that's going to talk loud, but in this series he's insignificant? We know he's significant for the Golden State Warriors. Can he do that for his team? Can he turn the clock back? I know he got a little gray whiskers now, but can he turn it back to the old Draymond? You know what I mean? I want the old Ye back. I want the old Dre back.
Well, Klay Thompson said they have kind of been here before, however. They have been there, backs against the wall kind of situation where they're down 2-1, got to win the game. Klay Thompson said they will, of course, use that experience.
It feels so familiar to things we've been through in the past, like the series in Cleveland in 2015. And, I mean, I've been on every side. I've been up 3-1, been down 3-1, lost the lead, regained the lead. So the beauty of having that much experience is you can reflect on it.
And that full interview with Klay Thompson you can hear on the NBA on ESPN Radio, which tonight, again, 8 p.m. Eastern is when the coverage begins, and ABC has it on TV. 9 p.m. is when that coverage begins. And, Bart, the Warriors go down 3-1 in the NBA Finals. Do you know what what is the record, do you think, of a team that has been down 3-1 in the NBA Finals? How many wins do you – how many teams have come back from a 3-1 deficit in the NBA Finals?
The Washington Generals, and that's it. Right.
A 1-35.
Who's the team? It's one in 36.
That would be the Cavaliers.
Oh, the Cavaliers with Draymond, right? Yeah. It would be a lot
Draymond
of synergy
kicked LeBron, and they were up 3-1. The next thing you know, you're losing Game 7 because of a chase down block and a Kyrie 3, and Steph Curry throwing a back behind the back pass that went out of bounds.
Yeah, that was the second best block in the playoffs to win a game. I get that.
Second best?
Sure. Yeah.
In a playoff game?
Yeah.
You're thinking a chase down block in Game 7 wasn't as good as Game 1 of the Eastern Conference Finals, Tayshaun Prince on Reggie Miller? Are you really putting that out there?
Back in that day, you know what I mean, you win the Eastern Conference Finals, and it was pretty much like winning the championship. So, you know, that was pretty much the hard lifting that we had to do was get past those Reggie Millers. You know what I mean? We talk to our boy Steven Jackson sometimes.
Yeah.
And what did he say? He said that was the best team that, you know what I'm saying, that never won because, you know, those Pistons.
Right. Do you think the series is over, though? If the Celtics win tonight,
it's a wrap.
Is the series over?
Yes, it is.
Would you be shocked? Is it stunning to think that the Celtics could go up 3-1 and have the Warriors on the ropes? I was not expecting that to happen, but we'll find out tonight. But I'd be shocked by that, man. You got to believe the Warriors win tonight. That's the trend. It has to be that
yeah,
way.
Yeah, I mean, Robert Williams. You know what I mean?
Yes.
He good game, healthy knee, bad game, bad knee. Tatum, let's see if he's going to still remain aggressive. Let's see if he's going to take it up a notch. You know what I mean? He's been listening to what this team needs for him. Let's see if he can get her done.
Yeah, we shall see if he can get her done. Meanwhile, mini camps are over on the NFL. Zach Wilson still.
Beefy.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.